This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
President Erdogan, his son, Bilal, in a rally in Istanbul on January 1st, promoted the Turkish regime's desire to take over Jerusalem. Yerushalayim, the eternal capital of Israel, Israel's eternal capital, he reported, said, now we are here for liberation of Al-Aqsa Mosque for Jerusalem. So it appears to be part of President Erdogan's effort to gin up operation for his program of conquest. Conquest of what? Conquest of Israel and Jerusalem. And even recently, in a speech he gave on December 22nd to a crowd in Turkey of young people, they loudly chanted, Mr. President, take us to Jerusalem. Instead of chiding the crowd about their inappropriate demand, he shockingly responded, patience brings victory. Well, you thought you had enough of Turkey on Thanksgiving, but today we're going to get some more. We're going to get some more turkey because turkey is knocking at the door. It's not a big, well, it is a big turkey, and it's crying gobble, gobble, gobble. It wants to gobble up Israel and gobble up Jerusalem. And it appears that with the collapse of Syria and its government under Assad, Turkey is now seizing the moment to become a surrogate Iran. In other words, to replace Iran in the greater picture of Islamic terrorism and the Islamic goal to rule the world from Jerusalem. The Temple Mount, the 37 most precious acres in the world, totally inestimable value, but that's their desire. In fact, it's not just a desire, it's their declared intent. That is the declared intent of the Islamic powers, whether it be Iran or Turkey. And so Turkey under Erdogan and Iran under Khomeini have been battling it out to see who's going to win the battle to become king of the mountain, the Islamic king of the Temple Mount, the very place where God said he had chose to place his name there. Will his name is, will it be Allah? Or it will be Yehovah, the God of Israel. Will it be Jesus Christ, or will it be the Mahdi, the 12th Imam of Islam? All of that here today on Viewpoint. I hope we have your attention because this is real stuff. This is real stuff, and you may think that whoever's going to be Speaker of the House is the big issue of the day. Well, it is locally. But in terms of history, in terms of prophecy, in terms of a biblical viewpoint, what we're talking about today is far bigger, far, far bigger. And so I hope you'll stay tuned. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. By the way, I want you to know how much we appreciate those of you who have been so faithful over this last year, in fact, over years, to support this program, to support what we're doing. This is not just a program. This is indeed a very focused ministry, a very focused ministry. We're not here to make money. We're not here to cause any aggrandizement to any individual, to any corporation, to anything like that. It's all about raising up the authority of the Word of God in the life of professing believers to strengthen, to encourage, to build up, to inform, but more than to inform, to bring about transformation that we might be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Isn't that supposed to be the goal, the blessed hope of the church? Well, we say it is, but one would wonder, given what we talk about, given what we focus about, given what we think is important these days. But we try to keep a balanced focus here on this program. Whether we're talking about moms, mothers in their role, whether we're talking about fathers in their role, the Bible talks about both. Whether we're talking about families, whether we're talking about the body of Christ, whether we're talking about obedience, whether we're talking about deception, whether we're talking about, you name it. We talk about it here on this program. So it's a very well-balanced program, even when we talk about persecution. So if you don't have the latest book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, you really need to get it because it was written specifically for this time. We're living in that moment of time. We're not going to talk about that here today, but I'm telling you, we're living in that time. The book was written so that you could be prepared, your family could be prepared, pastors, your congregation could be prepared, and that you would have the courage to be able to do it and know how to do it using that particular book. It's designed that way. So I hope you'll grab a hold of it and use it, and don't wait until all of a sudden, like the horrific situation where people have plowed into, a truck has plowed into and killed 14 people in down in New Orleans and injured another 35, where another fella launches a bomb there at Trump Towers in Las Vegas. You see, we don't know what's going to lie ahead. You don't know how quickly things are coming. That's why it's time to prepare now, to be prepared. And so the book is available to you. $25 on our website, saveus.org, When Persecution Comes. I hope you'll avail yourself of it, and when you get it, that you'll read it. Yes, read it. Just read it one chapter at a time. It's written in such a way that it's all broken down into small pieces, so it's very easy to read that way. I need books to be written like that because we don't necessarily always have, you know, an hour to sit down and read at a particular time. Sometimes you have to read in 10 or 15-minute segments. So get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes, $25 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, today also I'm going to talk about my book, King of the Mountain, because that's exactly what Mr. Erdogan has in mind. He wants to establish Turkey as the head of an Islamic caliphate of a neo-Ottoman empire to rule the world under Sharia law from the Temple Mount. That's what he wants to do, to become King of the Mountain. So I want to make available to you that book. It's a $20 book, and it's yours for $15 on our website, King of the Mountain. For he who rules the Temple Mount is he who is deemed to rule the world. So again, if you do not have that book and we'd like to get that book, just go to the website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us at Save America Ministries and add $6 for postage and handling. Now, if you get both of these books together, King of the Mountain and any other book, including the When Persecution Comes, you'll only pay $6 postage and handling for the first book and $2 for each successive book. So it makes it a lot less expensive. You know, postage rates are going up. We just got an announcement today of postage rates going up. So thank you so much for your continued support, for your encouragement over this last year and the years in the past. And today we march on to Turkey. What's going on? Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Israel National News came out with a piece today. It's headed, Turkey is becoming the new Iran in Syria. You see, Syria was kind of like an extension, a surrogate of Iran, as was Hamas and Hezbollah. Iran has been substantially weakened because of the war against Gaza and the war against Hezbollah, and now with Mr. Assad having been deposed there in Syria. Well, Turkey is filling the gap. It has been said that nature abhors a vacuum, and so Syria sees this as the opportunity to step in and replace Iran in this power center in the Middle East, right there bordering Israel. Well, that brings us to a fascinating article that came out by Leonard Grunstein in Newsweek. It came out today in Newsweek. And I don't normally find this kind of piece in Newsmax. Did I say Newsweek? I meant Newsmax. Newsmax.com. Don't normally find this kind of prophetic type of information there. But I want to share some excerpts, rather lengthy excerpts, with you because this article means something profound for us right now. President Recep Erdogan's son, Bilal, in a rally in Istanbul on January 1st, promoted the Turkish regime's desire to take over Jerusalem, Israel's eternal capital. He said, "Now we're here for liberation of Al-Aqsa Mosque for Jerusalem." Liberation meaning take it over from Israel and put it under dominion of Sharia law. It appears to be part of President Erdogan's effort to gin up support for his program of conquest. At a speech he gave on December 22nd, a crowd of young people loudly chanted, "Mr. President, take us to Jerusalem." And he didn't put it down. He said, "Patience brings victory." So, lest there should be any misunderstanding about his intent, Erdogan has implied a number of times since 2020 that Jerusalem belongs to Turkey. Turkey wants to gobble up Jerusalem. Indeed, the leader of the Nationalist Movement Party, that is Erdogan's coalition partner there in Turkey, in an address the very next day on December 23rd, declared that the goal was for Turkey to take Jerusalem. And that's in line with Erdogan's resurgent neo-Ottoman posture. Now, you say neo-Ottoman. What do you mean by that? Well, neo means new. So it's a new form of the Ottoman Empire. In other words, a vision by Mr. Erdogan to resurrect the ancient Ottoman Empire that once ruled the then known world and had Jerusalem under its thumb. So by way of background, the land of Israel, including Jerusalem, was conquered and controlled by the Ottoman Empire with Istanbul as its capital during the period from 1517 to 1917. So that was 400 years. That's a long time. That's how long the Hebrew people were in Egypt. That's about the length of the United States of America. Under treaties to which the Ottoman Empire and Turkey are bound and international law, the Jewish people's right to return to their homeland of Israel, then called Palestine, join fellow brethren there and reconstituted the Jewish state there, which was recognized. As Winston Churchill stated in 1922, the Jews had returned to Palestine as of right and not by sufferance, and that this was based on their ancient historical connection. Not Turkey's ancient historical connection through the Ottoman Empire, but Israel's historical connection that goes back over 3,000 years. Over 3,000 years. Erdogan's musings are just another example of promoting false narratives and ideologically motivated revisionist history in order to undermine the legitimacy of the Jewish state of Israel. As a matter of fact, and law, the nations of the world in the League of Nations and the United States unanimously confirmed the legal right of the Jewish people to the whole of the area west of the Jordan River that was then called Palestine and now known as Israel. When did it become known as Palestine? Under the Romans. It was not called Palestine when the Jewish people occupied the land before the Ottoman Empire. It was not called Palestine until the Romans took over. And the Romans were in charge when Jesus was born. Remember in the days of Augustus, all the world was ordered to be taxed, everyone going to their own city, and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem. Now, we continue on with this very fascinating piece of history coming from Newsmax. If prayer at the Al-Aqsa Mosque was so important to Erdogan, then why didn't he make the annual pilgrimage there? The last time he reportedly visited there was in 2005, 20 years ago. The reality is the Temple Mount is not that important to Islam, even though they say it's the place from which Muhammad ascended on his high horse up to heaven or whatever. It's Mecca. That's their lodestone. In this regard, it's interesting to note that the Ottoman Empire agreed, pursuant to the Treaty of Paris in 1856, that was at the end of the Crimean War, that Christians and Jews were legally permitted to pray on the Temple Mount. It's also important to note that the 1925 A Brief Guide to the Al-Haram Al-Sharif, that's called the Temple Mount, it was published by the Supreme Muslim Council called the Waqf, refers to the Jewish link to the Temple Mount and goes back and cites 2 Samuel 24:25. This is written by a Muslim leader, a guide to the Temple Mount. Here's what it says. This too is the spot, according to the universal belief, on which David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. How long ago was that, friends? 3,000 years ago. 1,000 years before Christ was born. Long before Turkey ever dreamed about the Temple Mount. Long before Muhammad ever showed up on the scene in the 600s AD. This guide written by the Muslims in 1925 says it focuses on Muslim history and its first encounter with the Temple Mount and notes the Muslim period's starting point is the year 637 AD. In other words, 637 years after David purchased the Temple Mount. And that's when Caliph Omar first occupied Jerusalem. It's a striking rebuke to those who falsely assert Arab Muslims were indigenous to Jerusalem. They were not. So as the Walk's own guide magazine say, the Jews and their holy temple on the Temple Mount were there first. This was more than 1.5 millennia before the Arabs arrived and began their occupation of Jerusalem. So, this Muslim guide also explains that the Dome of the Rock is not a mosque. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is located outside the holy precincts of the Jewish temple and is situated on the southern extension of the Temple Mount platform that was built by Herod. In other words, it was not part of what David purchased. As Al-Tamari, a 9th century respected Muslim historian, explains, this was as Omar intended so that Muslims would pray toward Mecca, consistent with Islamic practice and not the place of the Jewish temple as required by Jewish custom. So it's astonishing that the words of this noted Sunni scholar are simply and callously ignored in favor of the dictates of political ideology by Erdogan, who wants to take over and rule the world, starting with the Temple Mount. Jerusalem does not belong to Turkey, and President Erdogan's apparent aspirations to recreate a neo-Ottoman colonial empire are nothing more than a nightmare. a nightmare because it's going to cause untold problems. Well, Erdogan isn't the only one causing these kinds of problems. The Pope is also mixed up in it. It's amazing. The Pope just can't keep his mouth shut. He has an agenda. His agenda is very similar to the agenda of Mr. Erdogan, believe it or not. It's not that he wants Mr. Erdogan to rule on the Temple Mount. It's that he himself wants to rule on the Temple Mount. He wants the Pope, the papacy, to rule from the Temple Mount on the, over the world, not from Jerusalem, excuse me, not from the Vatican. You say, really? Yes. The papacy and the Vatican have already in writing historically declared that as the intent. Not to rule the world from the Vatican, but to rule the world from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. So you see, Pope Francis has a similar kind of goal to Mr. Erdogan. Mr. Erdogan wants to rule the world from Jerusalem for Islam. The Pope wants to rule the world under a quasi-Christian intent. I say quasi-Christian intent because it's not fully Christian. He claims to be the vicar of Christ. He claims to be Christ in the flesh. The papacy claims to be Christ in the flesh on this planet. Therefore, by definition, if you make that claim, you believe that you're going to rule the world from the Temple Mount, the very place where the scripture says that the Lord chose to put his name there, and where the psalmist says in Psalm 2, I have set my king on my holy hill. So, what is the Pope doing then? Well, in order to place himself in the proper place, vis-a-vis the rest of the world, the Arab world, the Muslim world, the Chinese world, all the rest of the world, other than true professing Christians, he tries to undermine Israel. So the Conference of Presidents in America of major Jewish organizations wrote a letter to Pope Francis this last week following his criticism of Israel's counterterrorism operations against Hamas in Gaza. In the letter, they wrote, "We appreciate and share your concern for the suffering of innocent civilians and a desire to spread peace and compassion around the world. However, statements you have made, including, quote, yesterday children were bombed, this is cruelty, this is not war, only serve to distort Israel's legitimate military campaign and fuel anti-Semitism and unjust targeting of the Jewish state. With global anti-Semitism at record highs, they said, the American Jewish community calls on you, Mr. Pope, to refrain from making incendiary comments and to build bridges between our two peoples. He doesn't want to do that, though. Why does the Pope not want to do that? Here's the reason. He's trying to curry favor with the majority of the non-God-fearing world. That's why. He's not going to get the affirmation of evangelical Christians. So where is he going to get his further support? To spread the papal wings over the world, a la Revelation chapter 17. Where is he going to get that kind of support? He has to extend the wings of the papacy over a broader group of people, not for righteousness and the kingdom of God, but for the kingdom of the papacy to be able to rule the world eventually. Together with the New World Order. So he's working in tandem with the secular, godless, globalists in order to what he thinks is going to place him in the maximum position of power as the vicar of Christ on the Temple Mount to rule the world together with the new global order. But that will be under the Antichrist. How do you figure?
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section. God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. We're going to get back to Turkey in just a few moments, but we're looking at a bigger picture here. We're looking at the picture of a major leaders in the world, of major people groups, whether they be religious, whether they be secular, whatever, who have their sights set on as an intent to rule the world. If you were to read my book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic and End Time Battle, you would have your eyes opened to see the trajectory of this pattern throughout history from the moment that Satan, then called Lucifer, on the Mount of God in the heavens, declared, I will be like the Most High God. In other words, his envy and his jealousy for God was so great that he decided to set up competition with him. And in order to be able to rule in competition, he had to take dominion over humankind of the earth, because God had given dominion to mankind of the earth. Remember Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. What is man that you have appointed him, and the son of man that you've given, declared to him, you've given him authority over the world. You've given him authority in the earth. Satan knows that. Therefore, if God has given humankind authority in the earth, then Satan wants to usurp that authority for his benefit, and he has to use human beings to do it. And that's where the battle for King of the Mountain comes from. And we've been watching it play out throughout history. The Bible shows that pattern, and now we're seeing it played out on steroids, so to speak. In other words, it's accelerating. It's heading toward its final implementation. And that's why we're talking about it this way, because this is no longer something in the dim, dark future. This is something right in your face, right in my face. It's right in front of us today. Right as we launch this new year, 2025. These headlines are just in the last 3 days. It's almost as if we hide our heads in the sand. We're more concerned about an attack down in Louisiana than we are in the bigger picture of why these things are happening. That thing is happening down in Louisiana for the very reason Erdogan wants to take over the Temple Mount. Islam wants to rule the world. Hello? It's decreed by Muhammad in the Quran and in the Hadiths. The destruction of Jews and so-called unbelievers, that is, those who do not embrace Islam, they must be destroyed. It's very clear. You say, well, I don't think most Muslims are like that. Someone told me that today. Well, I couldn't disagree with that. Most Muslims are not true Muslims. Did you know that? Most Muslims are what you would call cultural Muslims. They grew up in a Muslim country, just like people grow up in the United States and consider themselves Christian. They're not Christians, but they consider themselves that because they embrace a general, overarching, basic Christian milieu. So they call themselves Christians. They're not Christians any more than you become a car by driving into a garage. Most Muslims are not true Muslims. any more than most Christians are true Christians. They're just not. That's the reason why the Bible says that God is calling out a remnant. That's why the Bible says, come you apart and be you separate from all of these others, the cultural Christians, the cultural this, the cultural that, the pretenders. Come ye apart and be ye separate, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. So, here's Israel National News with another article concerning the Pope. Why the Pope pretends that Israel commits genocide. The Pope pretends that Israel commits genocide because it's the way that he sees, with his touchy-feely approach to things as a Marxist, which he is, in order to ingratiate himself, the papacy, and the Vatican to a much broader world that otherwise, whose affection he cannot gain. That's the purpose. So he's going to attack little Israel in order to do it. So the Israel National News responds, under Muslim sovereignty, the plight of Christianity is dire. Under Jewish sovereignty, the opposite plight, Christianity grows. The Pope will find there the galling truth confirmed that Christians are on the verge of extinction in the Middle East. It's elsewhere than Gaza he will discover proof of genocide. Rather than committing it, Israel is fighting it, doing so for Jews no less than for Catholics and Protestants. That's true. But this is spreading in ways that it's hard to comprehend. Another article that came out a few months ago, Israel National News, called Englidistan, Islamic Prayer in Westminster Abbey. Islamists think big and they're getting there. Today, Qatar has more property in London than King Charles III. When we thought we had seen it all, Islamic Prayer, the Muezzin Allah Akbar arrived in Westminster. London is more Islamic than many Muslim countries put together, said Imam Sayyid Raza Rizvi. So, 2 weeks before this happened, imams prayed at the parliament in Brussels. Islamists are thinking big and they're getting there. So, Julio Miotti, who is a very serious writer, observer, op-ed writer, has written this and says, look, Islam is taking over Europe. Europe is almost dead. Germany, France, England, they have welcomed in that which was 100% contrary to their alleged belief system as Christian Europe. And then the West excuses terrorism and finds all other kinds of justification for terrorism. So Julio Miotti writes another piece. Westerners excusing terrorism. Who needs Islamists then? An Islamist terrorist kills 87 people, adults and children, under a truck that claimed to be carrying ice cream to the celebration of the French Revolution. 4 days later, a philosopher, disciple, and friend published an article entitled, A Truck Launched. Despite having gone almost unnoticed, the article lost none of its interest. Why? A truck launched to run over children? No, a truck did not launch to run over children. An Islamist terrorist launched a truck to run over children. In other words, we can't bring ourselves to acknowledge the truth. We bought into multiculturalism, religious pluralism, and political correctness to such a level that it has completely become self-deceptive. We deceive our own selves. The terrorist who killed 15 people with a pickup truck in New Orleans on New Year's Day. What better way to start the year than with another Islamic massacre? But the Wall Street Journal gave us a good picture. He was a native Texan, an Army veteran, also served in Afghanistan, a state university graduate, and a father of three, had worked his way up the corporate ladder, was an attentive neighbor who regularly asked to retire if she needed anything, had given her vacuum cleaner, washer, and dryer when he moved in. Not once did they reveal him as a terrorist, as an Islamist terrorist. Why? And then they give excuses to say Islamic terrorism is a consequence of capitalism, colonialism, Israel, white, Jewish supremacy. In short, it's everybody's fault but the Islamist's fault. It's enough to cause a sane person to shake their head in absolute despair that there's any hope for sanity in the world. Moral sanity, factual sanity, and spiritual sanity. Again, I urge you to get a copy of two books. One, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, because if you think that what happened in New Orleans or what happened in over there in Las Vegas is the end of the story, that's just the beginning of the story. The intent is to crush Christians. And anyone who comes close to embracing a so-called Christian worldview, i.e., the United States of America. It has to be crushed. Because in order for them to take over the Temple Mount, they have to get rid of and control the biggest entity, the most powerful entity that purports to be supporting Israel. Are you listening? It's as if we're absolutely, totally afraid to face the facts. Now, let me extend a little caveat here. Not a caveat, but a corollary. God loves all people. He desires that all come to salvation. He desires that none should perish, whether they be borderline Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, or Muslims. But we have to face the reality on the ground, and that's a different story.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
And now we return to Turkey, friends, where we started. Officially called the Republic of Turkey, a country mainly located in Anatolia in West Asia, with a smaller part in Southeast Europe. It has amazing surroundings. Here it is. It borders the Black Sea to the north, Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Iran to the east, Iraq, Syria, and the Mediterranean Sea to the south, and the Aegean Sea, Greece, and Bulgaria to the west. It's home to over 85 million people. Officially, it's a secular state, but it has a Muslim-majority population. Ankara is Turkey's capital and second-largest city. Istanbul is the largest city and economic and financial center. That's just the foundational information that we're going to present here in this segment of the program. Now, I want to take you back 4,000 years, 3,000 years, no, 5,000, probably 4,000 years to the time of the flood. There was a flood. We read about it in Genesis 6, 7, and 8. And it covered the earth. And after 150 days, the water gradually was settling down. And finally, the Bible says that the ark settled or landed on the mountains of Ararat. Not Arafat, but Ararat. Now, where are the mountains of Ararat? Well, they're adjoining Turkey and Armenia. Turkey and Armenia. So there's a, shall we say, a undercurrent of warfare. You can call it a dispute, but it's really more than a dispute as to where the ark landed. Was it in Turkey or was it in Armenia? Armenia was the first officially Christian nation on the planet. Did you know that? I think it was 323 AD. Turkey has never been a Christian nation per se, although the seven letters to the churches of Asia were all to churches in Turkey, written by the Apostle Paul. A friend of mine has had at least four expeditions to try to locate Noah's Ark. And what he's reported to me is that they get all kinds of false directions from so-called guides who are trying to be deceptive because they really don't want them to find Noah's Ark because of their respective national claims, whether they be Armenian or Turk. And so it's been very difficult. The only way somebody could really try to locate it was from the air. And many, many years ago, decades ago, supposedly there was a photograph taken over an area that showed what apparently was the residue of a shape of a boat about the size that the Bible describes as Noah's Ark. But that's the area in which we're talking about. During the reigns of the reign of Suleiman the Magnificent, the Ottoman Empire became a global power. It was Turkey became a global power. From 1789 onwards, the empire saw a major transformation. Now, put this in our time frame. 1789 is about the time when our Constitution was written. Okay? So, the Ottoman Empire entered World War I in 1914, the year my dad was born, during which the Ottoman government committed genocides against its Armenian, Greek, and Assyrian subjects. In other words, the Ottomans, or Turks, were absolutely ruthless. They are the ones that committed genocides against Armenia, Greek, and Assyrian subjects. The Ottoman Empire, Turkish Republic, was proclaimed on October 29, 1923, modeled on the reforms initiated by the country's first president, Atatürk. Well, comparatively speaking, Atatürk was a good guy. He was looking for a secular government, and he was not trying to rule the world for Islam. Turkey is an upper middle class income emerging country. Its economy is the 17th largest by nominal income in the world and 12th largest by GDP. It's a founding member of the G20 nations, the Organization of Turkish States, and a regional power, an early member of NATO, and a candidate for the EU. Been a candidate for the EU for decades now. But the EU is very reluctant to let Turkey in. And you can see why. On the other hand, Turkey is the fifth most visited country in the world, believe it or not. It has a lot of history there. In December of 2021, the President Erdogan called for expanded official usage of Turkey, saying that Turkey represents and expresses the culture, civilization, and values of the Turkish nation in the best way. So in May 2022, the Turkish government asked the United Nations to officially declare Turkey in English. Now, that gives us some history there, and now we go a little bit further. Back to the Ottoman Empire. It was a global power during the reigns of Selim I and Suleiman the Magnificent. In the 16th and 17th centuries, that's the 15 and 1600s, Sephardic Jews moved into Ottoman Empire following their expulsion from Spain. In the 19th and early 20th centuries, that is the 18 and 1900s, persecution of Muslims during the Ottoman contraction and the Russian Empire resulted in an estimated 5 million deaths. 7 to 9 million refugees migrated into modern-day Turkey at that time. So Turkey has quite a history, quite a background, going way, way back. It's been called, though, an emerging power, a middle power, and a regional power. But to show the direction that Mr. Erdogan is leading Turkey with regard to Israel, in 2024, last year, Turkey stopped trading with Israel. Why? Turkey has the second largest standing military force in NATO after the United States, with an estimated strength of 890,000 military personnel. The country also maintains a force of 36,000 troops in northern Cyprus since 1974. Turkey bridges Western Asia and Southeastern Europe. I want you to try to get the picture of where Turkey is. See, it's got three major seas around it. It borders many of the significant nations that are tied up in Europe, the Islamic world, and so on. And it bridges Western Asia and Southeastern Europe. The Turkey's Asian side covers 96% of its surface and is often referred to as Anatolia. The country is encircled by seas on three sides, the Aegean Sea to the west, the Black Sea to the north, and the Mediterranean Sea to the south. It's bordered by Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Iran to the east, to the south, bordered by Syria and Iraq, and to the north is bordered by Greece and Bulgaria. Turkey, my friends, is centrally located as a trajectory from Russia to Europe. Turkey has very little energy resources on its own, big a country as it is, but it has massive influence with Russia and did with Syria. Russia has two major military bases in northern Syria, just a few miles from Israel. Turkey wants to take over Syria. Turkey has discontinued its trade with Israel. Turkey has been increasingly established its affection with Russia, even though originally and for years, Turkey was our ally. But under Erdogan, it's reversed. Turkey has increasingly embraced Russia. Russia has a oil or gas route coming through Turkey to feed and fuel Europe. Turkey makes massive amounts of money from Russia as the trajectory conduit through which Russia's energy passes. You can well imagine then what would happen if all of a sudden now Israel were to have a massive discovery, manifestation of oil. Turkey and Russia and Iran would be up to their eyeballs in economic disaster because it would so drop the price of oil that they would be in facing financial disaster. What do you think they might do? If you were Russia, if you were Vladimir Putin, whoever's going to rule Russia at that time, if you were Erdogan in Turkey, if you were heading up Iran, some of these other nations that are massive oil producers like Libya, what would you do? Well, you see that you're in an existential crisis. You've been reliant upon energy. You've been reliant upon oil that makes the world go around, that keeps your economy going. Germany is on the edge of destruction right now because it's lost its energy. It cut off Russian oil and gas at the request of Joe Biden. Germany, the greatest industrial nation in Europe, is collapsing. Just think of that as a microcosm of the bigger picture, my friends, when all of these other nations, including Russia and Iran, and then Turkey, that is the isthmus nation through which oil and gas are flowing through Russia, especially now that Ukraine has cut off and refused to renew its contract with Russian oil. Where's it going to go? And then some divine fracking or whatever happens in Israel, a little 5.6-point earthquake shakes up the underlayment of the earth, seismic shifting opens up the fissures of oil, and all of a sudden the world changes instantly. We read something about that in Ezekiel 38 and 39, don't we? That in the latter days, this group of nations specifically named will confederate and attack Israel to take a spoil. Why would they do that? Things are happening, friends, right here, right now. The stage is being set for these things. Open your eyes, my friends. Let's be prepared spiritually. You can't do anything about what these things are, but you can do what is necessary to prepare your families, yourself, spiritually, pastors. It's time to get serious. If we really believe Jesus is coming soon. Do you? Thanks for joining with us. Get a copy of those books. King of the Mountain, and When Persecution Comes. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.